Do you know why Father Jim is really here? He's really here to celebrate Father's 60th birthday. That's why. So, Father, happy birthday. My friends, there is always a great deal of emotion in anticipation of the day, whether that be a wedding day, a birthday, the first day of vacation, the opening day at the ballpark, an ordination day, to name but a few of the important days in the lives of many of us. In such cases, not only is the day enjoyed for itself, but it also promises many more wonderful days in the future. On the other hand, there are some days that strike fear and dread in our hearts, like the day we lose a job or the day of the death of a loved one. These days thrust us into sadness and pain and struggle, with little or no light at the end of the tunnel. For the people of ancient Israel, the day of the Lord was always a day of anticipation. It was the moment in history when all of the promises made by God would come to completion, and the people of God would enjoy them forever. Promises of peace and prosperity, of contentment and harmony. Jesus claimed that this long-awaited day was dawning as he inaugurated the reign of God. Brothers and sisters, we are moving toward the end of another liturgical year, and for the next several weeks, our worship will stretch us simultaneously, if you will, toward yesterday, toward tomorrow. And according to the prophet Malachi, the day is coming when there will arise the Son of Justice with healing in its rays. Charles Wesley, in his well-known Christmas hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," applied Malachi's words to the birth of Christ in the third stanza. You know those words, "Risen with healing in his wings, light and life to all he brings." My friends, Jesus' predictions in our gospel concerning the destruction of the temple, war, and natural disaster all seem hauntingly contemporary. Such language, called apocalyptic, flourished in the Bible in times of crisis and often among persecuted people. The language found in our scriptures today leave a lot of Catholic Christians a little uneasy, as we often relegate this kind of language, this kind of message, to fundamentalist TV evangelists shouting about the coming of the end of the world. And I'm sure that most of you here will remember that as we move toward the year 2000, all kinds of false prophets and salvation gurus took the big stage. Literature about the end times boomed, even if the earth didn't. But then, has there ever been an age without such trial and turmoil? What century hasn't seen its share of wars? What nation has not tried to bulldoze its way ahead of others, if not for victory in military struggle? When have we not been plagued by cancerous life or tossed by the mighty movements of earth and sea? Has there ever been a time when a true Christian hasn't been ridiculed and rejected, whether by friends or family or state? Today, Jesus, seeming to anticipate our wonder, offers us this advice. Don't be perturbed. Take care not to be deceived. These things are bound to happen. bound to happen. Brothers and sisters, life is bound to happen. Life is bound to be this way. Jesus isn't speaking here about the end of all times, but the condition of every time. Despite wars and conflicts, God wants to give us fullness of peace and life, and God calls us. God calls us all to hang in there and to have courage, to keep struggling for peace and justice in this broken world. These scriptures are telling us that no matter what happens in our personal lives or in our social and political existence, all will be well. As Blessed Julian of Norwich, the great woman spiritual writer of the 14th century, put it. And Paul, in the second reading today, urges everyone in the community to work and pull their weight so as not to be a burden on everyone. It seems that there were some in that early Christian community who were so convinced that the end was near that they were just sitting around waiting for the Lord to come and were even urging others to do the same. Paul calls them and us to get on with life, to stop wasting time minding everyone else's business, and to do our work quietly and earn our own living. Or as someone might say rather bluntly in today's jargon, to get a life. My friends, Jesus calls us not to be obsessed with the stones that will one day collapse and become dust, but instead to seek the things of God. In the most difficult and the most paralyzing moments we face, Jesus promises us that when we act out of selfless love for the good of another, we will find the words and actions that heal and lift us up. Jesus promises that in the midst of all of this, death itself will not have the last word, and that by patient endurance, we are saved. Brothers and sisters, without the liturgy of the church, how could we even begin to comprehend the liturgy of the world, if you will, and its own advent, its epiphany, its passion, its resurrection, its Pentecost, and its ordinary time? My friends, only prayer can make the connections between the seemingly mundane and the awesome coming of the Son of Righteousness. Only prayer can tell us that the simplest and the most common are part of and expressions of the great mystery of God's love and compassion. Only prayer can prepare us for this season in which everything we have embraced yields to the dark, which awaits the light. When someone asked Blessed Julian of Norwich the meaning of Jesus' words in the midst of sufferings and the injustices of the world, she replied, "Know it well. Love was his meaning. Be confident, have trust, and even in the midst of struggles, be joyful. All will be well, because God's love will be always with us." Brothers and sisters, when we gather Sunday after Sunday for Eucharist, it's significant that the ritual actions before we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ are of breaking and of pouring. Because our faith tells us that when our lives are broken open and are poured out, that's the moment of grace when we experience Jesus Christ in an incredibly powerful way. Yes, there will be pain at the end of time because everything passes away. And I suspect that most of us will have passed away before the day of the Lord comes. So together today, let us pray and hope for the rising of that Son of Justice, the Son of Peace. This is the hope in which Jesus invites us to live and whose death and resurrection brings us his healing rays. Let us pray for the coming of the one who says, "Don't be afraid, because not a hair of your head will be lost. My friends, let us eat then and drink of the Christ that is near us, within us, and among us. Amen.